to your word. We are grateful, Lord Jesus. We are grateful, Holy Spirit, for this privilege we gathered in this atmosphere today. We do not take it for granted. As I go into your word, Father, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I strip myself of every confidence that I yet have, my knowledge or ability to share your word. Lord, they are very inadequate. But I duck under covering this morning. I put my confidence in your mercy and your grace to use the little preparation to multiply the same, that blessings and edification will come unto us, sons of men, in the name of Jesus. I pray that as your word goes forth, it will cause our wills to become more humble today, our minds to further enlightened by revelation knowledge from your word, and our emotions to further controlled and tempered by the power of fruit of spirit. Father, as we ask for mercy and grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Cause yokes and lives are broken, needs to be met. Give me praise and glory to your name in the name of Jesus Christ. I also ask for grace to enable me to bring out of the treasure of your word things both old and new as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for grace to redeem the time. I give you all the praise and all the glory for all you will do in our midst today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. We have been in the book of 1 Timothy for some time now, and by the grace of God, in our last we taught on the book of Timothy. We are in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we spoke extensively from verses 7 to 9. Please put it on the board for a brief recap. Last time we spoke on this book, we talked extensively by the mercy and the grace of God on the importance of godliness, what it means to be godly. That is, and we emphasize the importance in this day, and also that is our destiny. That is what God desires, to have children that like Him. Let's just read for to understand. See, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Let's read together. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and do what? Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Let's say it again. Exercise thyself rather unto what? Godliness. You see, just to mention before we go to the next verse, he said, refuse profane and old wives' fables. That is, in summary, there are some things that you can hear in church that will not allow you to be godly. They will excite your emotions. They will make you feel good. But you see, they will not bring you that purpose or the end that God asked for you. And we gave the example of Esau the other time. Bible calls him a profane person. He said we should not be like him. Praise the Lord. So let's put it back there. I'm just talking. So he said we should exercise ourselves unto what? Godliness. Exercise here means practice. Everybody say practice. Say it takes practice. Spiritual practice. Of using the blood, the word, and the spirit to become like God. You see, when we got born again, we had the nature of God in our spirits. The Bible tells us that you know, if you being that's what got us born again. I'm the vine, you are the branches. That's what got us born again. And I also have the character, the love of God in our hearts. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. But see, the whole essence of our Christianity is to become like God. Godliness means God-likeness. Say God-likeness. Exactly like God, not just in spirit, but in soul and in body. So Paul says, "He says, exercise thyself rather unto what? Godliness." So it takes spiritual exercise of daily using the blood, the word, and the spirit to become godly. Let's say it together. It takes spiritual exercise, daily exercise of using the blood, the word, and the spirit to be like God in your spirit, soul, and body. You see, God does not only want us to have that nature in our spirits, but he wants that nature to flow into our souls. That character, that love that I share about in our hearts to flow into our souls, to enter into our physical body. Is that simply to be made manifest. When that one occurs, then it leads us to the next stage of what it says in verse 8. Let's read. For bodily exercise profits little. But bodily exercise profits little. But what? Godliness. Say godliness is profitable unto all things. Having the promise of a life that now is and that which is to come. So we spoke also about bodily exercise. There I said it is little, profit little. It can only help you for this lifetime. But that does not mean that we should neglect it. I'm going to give the example of Elisha. And we've been taught in this house, not only exercise, we have to keep the laws of diet, of hygiene, of rest, and of exercise. Those things are very, very important in this day. You see, if you don't, Bible talks about the little foxes that spoil the vine. You can't neglect them. You can't substitute one for the other. You can't say, I will pray, then I will not do all these ones. No, although it is a spiritual aspect that sustains that physical one, but we must not neglect it. lots of hygiene, you know, lots of medicine, rest. You know, Paul told his spiritual son, in some, we'll get that later as we continue the book. He says, take some wine for thy often stomach infirmities. So it's not wrong to take medicine. But you see, our trust must be in God as we pray over the medicine, that God will now use that medicine. There's no point being sick and then you can't pray. So we need to balance these things. Though it is little, we must not neglect it. Say, though bodily exercise is little, we must not neglect it. Praise the Lord. Says, but godliness is what? Profitable unto all things, having the promise of a life that now is, and of that which is to come. A win-win situation. That is, if you prioritize in your Christian work to become like God, which is your destiny and your purpose, being conformed to the image of Christ, having the nature and the character of God formed in your soul and in your body. Bible says it is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is come. Briefly, in summary, what are these promises? The promise of a life here is that the perfection and the fullness of Christ with the reward of the double glory. You will not inherit the double glory. That is promise of his lifetime. If you exercise yourself daily unto godliness, as you begin to practice it, I begin to practice in the Lord, the Word, and the Spirit to perfect the godly character in your soul and in your body, you begin to experience these promises, firstly as a broad anointing under covering. You see, that is the promise of this lifetime. You inherit that broad anointing, and then finally, as you grow under covering, not get your own. That is the first promise that we must pursue after. That's why the Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. The second promise of the promise of this lifetime is the promise of physical, material, and financial blessings. You can see that from the scripture I just quoted now from the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. So it's a sure banker. If you keep seeking first the kingdom of God, that is seeking godliness, using the blood, the word, and spirit to perfect the love of God in our lives every day, as you continue, you see, if you read in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says that if you keep my commandments, it says, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. You see, for it to come upon you and overtake you, that means you must have gone ahead. That's what it means by seeking first. You see, don't wait for the promises to come. You go ahead to seek first the kingdom of God. As you keep on seeking first that kingdom of God, gradually, you see, the promises, initially when people look at you, they will not see the blessings. Because God will strip you. I don't want to go there this morning. But you see, after some time, the blessings will, that godliness will attract the promise of this lifetime. They will come upon you, and then after some time, they will overtake you. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to have that. Then the promise of a life to come. And I put you three things that Pastor has taught us. Let's read together. Order of our resurrection, the degree of the glory of our resurrection, and then those that will rule and reign with him. That is also that now has to do with sphere of your influence. You see, that's why you cannot play with godliness. You see, if you don't practice godliness, it will affect you here or not. God will miss out on inheritance, the spiritual measure, which is our inheritance. And then, at the end of the day, you're not going to be as rich, so to speak, as God wants you to be, even though you can get some few coins. That the world might think that, okay, this guy is successful. But as far as God is concerned, he's not so successful. He told the church in Revelation, said, you think you are rich, but you are poor, wretched, and miserable. The worth of his end time is what God wants to reveal unto us through being godly. Praise the Lord. And then also, finally, after, you know, either through the rapture, or after, if one dies and goes to heaven, then it will not determine how you live on earth. It will not determine the order of your resurrection, the glorification of your body. You know, Paul says that every man in his own order in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He also says that one star different from another star in glory. And he also determined the sphere of your influence. We're not going to be the same in heaven. We are not going to be the same. It's like if you enter into university, you can all enter at the same time. But if you don't go for lectures, if you don't study tutorials and all those things, you see, it will determine the order, the day you graduate. You can have extra years. It also determine the degree you make. Either you can make a first class, a second class upper, second class lower, whatever, third class or pass, can even send you out. And then finally, with that degree, it will also determine the sphere of influence. That is the kind of job you can get. Other than normal circumstances, you can't take a pass degree to go and say you're looking for a job, maybe in Shell or something. I follow me. Even though you're caused in Nigeria nowadays, but God is changing that, you know, nepotism, where people just put people that don't qualify there because they are relatives. But other normal circumstances, you cannot. So it's the same thing spiritually. The way you live now, the way you pray, attend your lectures, the way you read your Bible, the way you study, the way you inject the life of God, through the blood of water and spirit, to put life of God in your soul and your body, will determine these things. The promise of this lifetime and also the life to come. And the life to come is eternal. You can't change it. One star different from another star in glory. You can't beg God. You can't say, I want to go back like that rich man, although he was in hell. You can't. So what are we saying? It is very important for us to take being godly serious. Praise the Lord. In summary, Apostle John puts it this way. Put Bible in the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. 1 John chapter 3. What does it say? Let's say, and every man that has this hope in him does what? Purifies himself even as he is pure. You see, the degree of our purification is not dependent on man. Jesus Christ, our Master and Lord, is the standard. So you use the blood, the water, and spirit. You see, if you put man as your standard, when you get to that standard, you stop. And that standard may not qualify you. Even though I put the proviso here, you have to follow those that are following after. I follow me because you need to follow them. Or else you can't get there at all. You won't even get the knowledge. And then especially you need that covering to sustain you. We need to put the proviso there. So people don't run away and say, Jesus Christ is my example. You know, I have rebellious people that have those in their heart that do that. That will not be a portion of Jesus. So every man, without exception, that has this hope in himself, purifies himself. That means you must have a hope. That hope is a revelation. Initially, get this as knowledge that we are preaching now. Then now go back to begin to study. God now gives that revelation. It is that revelation of the hope of perfection and the inherent glory, and then the blessings that will come, and then the hope of after the resurrection that will begin to purify you. That begin to monitor, help you to monitor what you do and what you don't do. Praise the Lord. Now let's go into what we have for today. Let's go to, okay, there's one more verse. Let's read the verses. Okay. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. What is a faithful saying? Paul is now saying that, look, this is a faith. What is it? That is this profiting that godliness produces is a faithful saying. And it is worthy of all acceptation. That is, he now puts a verse behind it. Guys, I want you to understand what I've just said. I'm not just talking grammar. It's a fact that this thing is worthy of all acceptation. That if you practice these things, exercising yourself daily unto godliness, after some time, the profiting in this lifetime will come. Before it comes, you will hear the bold anointing of a spirit that measure. The profiting of this lifetime will come. And then when you finish whatever God has asked you to do on earth, when you get to heaven, you have the glorification of your body, the sphere of your influence, you know, it will determine it. So he said, look, this thing is worthy of all what? Acceptation. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you. Help me. Let's now move to what we have for today. Verse 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help me. So, For therefore, we both labor and suffer what? Reproach. Because we trust in living God, who is the Savior of all men, say all men, especially of those that believe. From that verse, you can see that it divides even salvation into just beyond being born again. We'll read it again. Say, for therefore, we both, that is Paul and all those that are under him, both do what? Labor. Say labor. And suffer reproach. Because what? We trust in living God, who is the Savior of all men. That's when you get born again. And especially of those that believe. That is after. Why will he say God will save those that have believed? You see, we need to reason along with what Paul is saying. It already shows us that salvation is beyond just believing in Lord Jesus Christ and getting born again. He says that, I say, God is the Savior of all men when they get born again, you and I, and then of them that believe. So what the first sign is here? Let's look at the scripture. Just comes to my heart. I'll mention it. He said that we suffer two things. He said we labor and then we suffer reproach. Say labor and suffer reproach. Say labor and suffer reproach. We look at it quickly. But there's a scripture that comes to my heart. He said because we trust. It takes trust in God to believe that I can become like Jesus Christ. If you look at yourself this morning, you look at our infirmities, you say it is not possible. But see, that is where faith comes in. You see, that is why we must focus our faith on trusting God. Faith is simply trust. That what he has said he will do, he will do. So you don't look at yourself. Look at what he has said. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. Paul was talking. What did he say? He said, but we have the sentence of death. Let's go. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not do what? Trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead. Sentence of death there, you know, he applies to Paul because we are going to kill him. But you see, death here speaks also about the sin nature that is in our soul and in our body. Before you get born again, you have it in your spirit, soul, and body. But now, after you get born again, God removes from your spirit, you now have the residual sin nature in your soul and in your body. So he said we have a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. You see, folks, I can't trust myself, natural abilities, or to attain unto perfection. It is not possible. It can never happen that way. So Paul says that we do not trust in ourselves. I recognize there's a nature in Pastor Dewey, that if I don't stay under covering and obey these instructions, I will misbehave. The same thing goes for you. So each morning when I wake up, I remind myself that Pastor has said we should pray every morning, or else this sin nature will run riot. So after I do that praying, I don't put my confidence in that prayer. I also acknowledge God in my mind, knowing that there's a covering that is going to make it, add supplements to it. Because probably when I was praying this morning, you don't know, maybe I slept off. But so covering now comes and adds more to that. So we have that sentence in our souls and body. Next verse. We can't trust ourselves. It says, who delivered us from so great a death, when you got born again, and doth deliver us. Say, doth deliver us. What you're undergoing now in your soul. Are you following me? In whom we trust. Say, in whom we trust. You don't have to be an American to say that. In whom we trust. In whom we trust. That he will yet what? Deliver us. I've been saved. I've been born again. I'm being saved. I'll be finally be saved. Spirit, soul, and body. So I trust God for that. Say, we trust God for that. Why? Because he's not a man to lie. Not the son of man that should repent. Praise the Lord. Let's open to 1 Thessalonians, just put a scripture behind it, you know, because this is the old essence of whatever we preach. Thessalonians chapter 5, is it 5 now? I think it is 5, 23, yes. So, and the very God of peace, it's the same thing talking about here. Sanctify you, remove that death nature, that sin nature. Holy, and I pray God, it's God that would say God, your whole spirit and soul and body be what? Preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, before he returns, this thing is a deal on this side of the earth. Unto the coming. If you don't attain unto it by reason of time, by the time it comes, you are failed. But I will not be apportioned in Jesus' name. Now, the next verse is very important. It says, faithful is what? Faithful is he that has what? Called you to this perfection, who also will do it. We need to have that at the back of our minds. So when Satan comes and starts disturbing you about your weaknesses, that's why Paul says, I glory in my infirmities. So because when I'm weak, I'm strong. So you must recognize that you are weak, that the grace of God might rest upon you. I'm not saying that when you say glory, it doesn't mean that you're not indulge in those infirmities. No, recognize when pride comes to you, recognize the weakness. When anger comes up, recognize that this is a weakness, so it's going to make me fall. See it from that point of view. Then the grace of God will release upon you to overcome that specific infirmity. Praise the Lord. So let's go back. It says we labor. Put it back there. It says we labor and suffer reproach. So what do you mean by labor? Yeah, Paul is not talking about physical labor. If you are physical labor, then you don't need to be born again. You know, the baptized Holy Spirit. He's talking about spiritual labor. Say spiritual labor. Spiritual labor. And there are four, like we've been taught in this house. I'll just run through it so we can continue. Say the labor of life. We labor to receive life. You can't just get life like that, yeah? There's labor involved in drawing life from the life and power scriptures. That's Proverbs chapter 10, verse 16. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The labor of the righteous. The labor of the righteous tended to what? Life. The fruit of the wicked to sin. So we can see now that the life he's talking about here is not just physical life, because he talks about sin. So who is a righteous person? Somebody that is born again, made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's a labor of the righteous tender or produces life. But the wicked tends to sin. That is, there is nothing the wicked can ever do to receive eternal life. except they get born again. Now, after you get born again, Jesus Christ said, I've come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. So it takes labor to have life more abundantly until you receive the Spirit without measure. Summary. John chapter 6, verse 26. Just put another scripture behind it. The Master himself serves you. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus answered them and said, very, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Is that a scripture? Is that 26? 26, 26. Okay, 27, fine. Now it says, labor not. Say, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So he said, don't waste your time laboring for the meat that perisheth. That covers the entire scope of what people, the Gentiles, want after that. Now listen, it's not saying that you don't go to work, but he that does not work shall not eat. But saying, look, your priority every day is to receive life, because it's that life that will enable you to do other things that God has called you to do and to succeed in your secular whatever you're doing. So he said that, he said, but you not come to reach that life. So he said, don't labor for all these things. They saw, we gave them bread in this story. After they ate bread, they didn't want to know how the bread came. So he said, look, it takes the life of God to produce what you guys have just used to feed you. The Bible says that Moses knew the ways of God, but the Israelites only knew his acts. So God wants us, this is where the acts begin to start from. And now begin to use the life of God to produce. Praise the Lord. The second thing is, we labor in the word. Say, labor in the word. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. Say, let the elders that rule well be counted what? Worthy of double honor. Especially, say especially, they who labor in the word and doctrine. I don't want to go there, but it shows that I can be an elder and you not labor in the word and doctrine. He said, don't count those ones worthy of double honor. That's why we need to honor what we have in the house. Say, calm down, what else? Say, the labor. You see, you can be an elder. I just want to mention it and then move on. From that scripture, it says that count them, the elders that rule well, be counted worthy of double honor. You see, now it says, especially they that labor in the word and doctrine. You see, and then that doctrine again, zero it down to what we've been talking about, the doctrine according to godliness. God is what will give you your inheritance. Those that do not labor in the word and according to the doctrine of godliness are hindering you, or they will hinder you from inheriting. So you cannot count them worthy of double honor. I'm not saying don't honor them, but double, no. It's those that are preaching this doctrine according to godliness that you count worthy of double honor. So as you honor them, you too, you will get and receive the double glory. Are you following me? So let's move on. Then the next thing is also labor in prayer. Labor in prayer. Labor in prayer. Before we move to labor in prayer, you see, why do we have to labor in the word? The Bible says, in him and hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Your purpose, your life, your destiny, your wife, whatever. I didn't mention those things because those are what people seek after. And they're not even Christians. But everything, both spiritual and physical, is hid in the word. The Bible says that the things concerning you are written in the word. But it's going to take labor when you set yourself apart and begin to meditate on the word, begin to ponder upon the word. Of the study to show yourself approved to God as a workman, it takes work, spiritual labor that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing word of truth, that is, you can wrongly divide. Like pastor has told many times, that you now begin to divide it, separate this one, separate, move on. I say, okay, this one applies to me now. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is what God's going to do. So it's clear. So we need to study. Labor in the word, and you can only do that by first of all submitting to those that have gone ahead, those that what, like Paul says, that he says you count them worthy of double honor that labor in the word, not just the word of get prosperous, which is not wrong, but the doctrine according to godliness. He says count them worthy of double honor. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Labor in prayer. Colossians chapter 4 verse 12. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. Let's read out now. Salute you. Always what? Laboring. Say always. Always. Laboring for you. Fervently for you. In prayers. That you ought. That you may stand. Perfect. And complete. In all. The will of God. You see, there are so many things here. But I just want to talk about labor. This is a Epaphras, who is one of you. It's just somebody like you. Elijah is a man of life, passion. That's what he's trying to say. He said he has addicted himself to Paul, to support Paul's ministry. And what does he do? He said he's saluting you. Paul was writing to him. He said, laboring fervently. Fervently. Pastor, I've been talking about in this season that we need to pray effectually, fervently, and frequently. It's going to take the frequency of praying and the fervency of praying for you to stand perfect in all the will of God. That's what I want us to see here. He says, fervently for you in prayer that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Put in amplified. It says, laboring fervently for you. It takes that to stand perfect. You see, if the Epaphras was doing it for the Colossian church, but after some time, they too must, others must join. As it moves up, others will start doing it. You are doing it, you are doing it. Start doing it for your children, those under you. So that's why, or else they will not stand perfect. My decision of my traveling back again unto what Christ performed you. Same thing. There's a Epaphras, who is one of yourselves, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He is always striving. He says, striving for you earnestly in prayers, pleading that you may, as persons of ripe character, say ripe character, and clear conviction, you are not doubting whether perfection is possible, stand what? Firm. Say, stand firm and mature in spiritual growth, convinced and fully assured in everything willed by God. You see, I don't want to cap me. I can cap meeting for next 2 hours on this scripture, but I'm not going to. I can, because this is the whole essence of your existence, and this scripture shows you how you are going to get there. You can never get there if you don't pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. If you don't pray fervently, if you don't pray frequently, you can be there today, you go back tomorrow. You will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So it takes prayer. And also see now that it also takes covering. Very important, because the Colossians were not just one praying. It was the prophet under Paul that was praying for them. So it's the importance of covering. So we can't take this message and run away and say, okay, I understand, I can do the man. No, you cannot do it on your own. You'll be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit what the promises. That's why you find that a lot of people have made shipwreck in the body of Christ. They just get an idea of this thing. You just take this one here, go here, add this one together, mix together, they start a ministry. They put people under themselves that can't, they can't stand. Those under them can't stand. But I don't want us to waste time there. Let's just move on. God will give us wisdom. So it takes prayer. Say it takes prayer. Praying always. Say always. That's also important. But it's praying always. Your prayer and supplication in the spirit. So it's not just praying always like you are praying any kind of prayer. It says praying, if you link it to Ephesians chapter 6, it says praying always with all manner of prayer and supplication in the spirit. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered prayers and supplication of strong kind of tears unto him that was able to save him from death or make him stand perfect in all the will of God, so he could go to the cross. This then applies to us. Now, labor, the last one I put, all these labors thus far, it will lead us to the labor and the work of love. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. The end of the commandment is what? Love out of a pure heart and of faith unfeigned. Now, let's read what it says. For God is not unrighteous to what? Forget your work. That work there is the work of faith and power. I don't have time to turn there. And your labor of love. You see, you can't wake up today and say you're going to walk in love. It will not happen. It takes labor in prayer. All the things I've mentioned, it takes labor, spiritual power. That you judge the place of prayer, because love is spiritual. God is love. God, love that act of walking love is spiritual. You can't use gra-gra to do it. I won't give an example of when I've fallen on my face many times. But it's good to have a determination. But see, it's not gra-gra. You want someone to come and slap you and turn the other cheek? Thank God we don't carry guns in Nigeria. There are many people that are shot down dead. Not because I want to, but like we said earlier on, there's a sin nature. So like, I don't trust myself. Oh. I don't trust myself. Oh. See, we trust. The Bible talks about Lord Jesus Christ, John. That's mentioned. It says that he did not put his trust in any man. Why? Because he knew what was in man. You see, that is the problem. Many in the church don't understand that is the problem they're carrying around. A time bomb ticking to explode. They don't know. So they don't do everything to make sure, like Paul said, I keep my body under. I bring it to subjection. So after I preach unto others, I have not become a or misbehave. So Let's finish our answer. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward the his name. Say his name. Yes, the labor you put into working like God, character. It takes labor. In that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Also, that aspect also has us to do ministering to the saints. Not just again giving things physically to them. Thank God for that. But minister when you minister, if a man sees brother sin, sin on them, he shall ask for life. In summary, washing of feet. Let's just leave it and move on. We've been taught in this house. Are you following me? So it takes labor. You are in the midst of people, about 10 of them. This one, do you ask for life? This one, life. All life will run in the morning. Before you get out of the house, maybe your wife, your children, your house boy, they've taken everything. They have to draw life again. Come and tell me that is not labor. If you tell this one, get his life, it doesn't do it. You ask for life. Children, get ready, we are going to work. They don't get it. You ask for life. You, by the time you get out, the driver has not watched the car. You ask for life. Honey, let us go. I forgot my shoe. You ask for life. Tell me that is not labor. Because you are dispensing, you have to be refilling again. So it takes labor to walk in love. Praise the Lord. So, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So it takes spiritual labor in those four areas. Let me just mention them. Labor of life, labor in the word, labor in prayer, labor to walk in love. Praise the Lord. So I put it, I said, it takes sufficient mercy and grace to be able to labor spiritually, to be God-like in our conduct. You see, it's not just the praying now. But you see, for the praying, all this labor to work, it must be backed with the same sufficient. Sufficient is the key. Sufficient amount of God's mercy and grace. That mercy, as we've been taught, is given to the honest-hearted Christians. If you are dishonest, it will reduce the mercy you get. Always remember that. So be honest, brutally honest. Like Mom Israel would say, be brutally honest between you and God. Nobody may know. Say, God, this is envy. Babani, envy God. I judge it. No excuse. This is just envy. The mercy will be given to you to overcome envy. Bible says that who shall stand before envy? Who? It is them that put on the old armor of God. He says, Kinnikon is cruel. This one is social and outrageous. Who can stand before envy? I said, have you done enough to stand there? That means that God does not want you to fall before envy. Not just envy, anger, immorality, whatever. But you see, if you don't have sufficient mercy, when the temptation comes to acknowledge that God, this is it, at the top level, sufficient mercy will not flow. Now, when mercy flows, because of that honesty of heart from outside, like we've taught, the mercy of God is the life of God that God gives to us from outside. The Bible says mercy is over all the standard works. Then, you know, sufficient humility. If humility is not sufficient, which is submission to the will of God, when you don't feel like it, which now leads to the next stage of doing something about it. Like he told Abimelech after mercy, although he couldn't receive grace, but understand the analogy. And I said, return that person's wife to him. I follow him that this, so to speak, grace was given to obey. Mercy was given when it was honest. Said, Lord, I didn't know. I preserve God integrity of heart. Now that you know that it is wrong, are you following me? So Bible says, we must not receive the grace of God in vain. I follow me because I'm talking too fast, but I'm trying to just marry this thing as it's coming to me. So you need sufficient grace, or else you cannot labor effectively. You wake up in the morning, if I don't care, take coffee. I've done it before. I'll take coffee. I will take Panadol Extra. I'll determine. I'm going to pray. Wake up as early as 12. I'll still be drawing life till 6:37. You are laughing at me. We'll all see when we get to heaven. When they play the game, we'll say, hey, you too, you did it now. So you say it takes, why? Because there's no sufficient. Not this grace is given to the humble. Paul said, he giveth more grace. So you see, that is the whole essence of, you see, in spite of whatever God has called you to do, always check your heart to make sure you are honest. Bible says in Proverbs, something about it says for out of your heart flows the forces of life. God help me to just move on. So it says to be godly. So it's not gra-gra. Even though you can have said labor this, you can go home and say, I'm going to labor in the world. You open that Bible, you not see anything. You can even cram it, it doesn't matter. The scribes and the Pharisees, they crammed it, but they don't have any revelation on it. Why? Lack of sufficient grace. Lack of a honesty of heart. Insufficient measure. They could not rightly divide. They could not interpret the scriptures. So I said, mercy is given to the honest hearted, and grace is given to the humble. Matthew 11:28. Let's just put a scripture behind it. Matthew 11:28. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Have mercy. Say, Matthew 11:11, not 11, not Malachi. They sound alike, but it's not the same. Come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that what? Labor and are
heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So God knows He has called us on spiritual labor. But He knows that for us to enter rest, we need to come to Him. I won't go there. Scriptures are just flying through my head. Say, you will not come unto me that you may receive life. Next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart, and shall find rest on souls. Like you've been taught. He didn't say, learn of me of miracles. He said, learn of meekness and so on. And shall find rest on souls. But to enter rest in those areas I've mentioned, or final rest of entering the perfection of Jesus Christ, you're going to take meekness and lowliness of heart. Let's just leave that as we move on. So, and I give an example of Paul, 1 Corinthians about 15, verse 10. Paul says something very that it's not because in the scripture we think he's proud, but God allowed him to write it so we can understand. He said, but by the grace of God, but by my gra, but because I sat at the foot of Gamaliel. No, he made it so simple for us to understand. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. That means you can receive grace in vain. We will not receive in vain. But I link that scripture. He takes grace to labor. Let's say, He takes the grace of God in sufficient measure to labor in prayer and all those other things. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Can you imagine? Yes, not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The question is this. Is God partial? No. How do you get grace? Humility of heart. Outwardly, if you had seen Paul, say he's very proud. But look at it. For him to receive grace to labor more than everybody, I wrote more than half of the New Testament. He says it's grace of God. It's not because he was a Pharisee. Not because, no. He recognized it. And there was a time that he missed it. We'll just see as we move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Because this is their dynamic. You can have sufficient grace this morning. Before midday, you've lost all the grace. And then what you used to do easily before, you can't do it again. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. That revelation introduced an element of pride. You know, it's when you have revelation on it, it's very easy for you to be proud. You just be walking around your place. Somebody is saying something. You know, you're not going to say it out, but it's in your heart. Answer all perfection. And you sort of quick, you know, die and go to heaven. Knowledge, perfect of gnosis, not epignosis. But if you walk in love, you're able to quickly correct that. I know that is pride. Honesty. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that He might depart from me. So Paul went to God. He did four faces. It was three here. I bind you. Satan, I cast you out. Leave me alone. God, this thing didn't go. He didn't go. Next verse. And He said unto me, He asked, God, you know, He didn't answer him. He said, What? My grace is sufficient for you. What was He trying to tell Paul? Paul, humble yourself. You need to go lower. Like the master went, kept going, became a servant of today. He said, you have to go lower. The amount of revelation you have now does not mean you're going to fulfill this thing. You have to keep going lower, go lower, go lower, go lower, go lower. Follow my pattern. Also, I have to say, 4D, my strength is meant perfecting weakness. Recognize that this pride is weakness to you. Most glad, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my pride, or whatever it is. That what? The power of Christ may rest upon me. So you know what you do? When you know your specific infirmities, before they manifest, you start telling God, God, you know, I always have an issue with this thing, please. Before they begin to trip you, you always have an idea. They say that, if you want to cry, you are going to whatever you are going, they're going for the house of mourning, and you know you will not cry on time. And if you get there, they were wondering, we're concerned. So before you get there, maybe from Songo, you are suddenly realizing. So by the time you get there, by faith, the tears will start coming out. What am I saying? You see, everybody, we know our specific infirmities. You know them. The things that trip you. So that the thing that you take to God every morning. But God, you know, this person always irritates me when we are together. Please help me today. You don't wait. Why do you want to wait? So you begin to glory in your infirmities. Ah, God, I thank you because I know you are going to help me to overcome this thing. Don't say it has gone. It has not gone. It's going to trip you. So you, before anything happens, we take it to God. Let's move on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So it says that we suffer. It says we suffer reproach also. Say suffer. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I think it's verse 10. It says we labor. We talked about labor. Now it says we suffer reproach. Say suffer reproach. Suffer reproach. Because what? We trust in living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. We talked about that. You see, this thing about seeking after godliness, you're going to labor to achieve it. That's what Paul just said. And then it's going to, as you begin to do it, while you are doing it, you will suffer reproach. Say suffer reproach. You can't escape it. Reproach is there, as Pastor has taught us. Reproach involves persecution and affliction. Say persecution and affliction. Persecution and affliction. What is persecution? Let's say together because of time. Persecution is criticism, rejection, and reproach. Who said there's no reproach in Christianity? Who said so? Who said that there's no reproach? You can see that over half of church is deceived. When pressure comes and persecution, everybody runs away. So, you persecution. Let's read affliction because of time. Affliction. Affliction is an attack on our wills, minds, emotions, and body, and our circumstances. Satan attacks you. The pastor gave us one, they also carried Jesus Christ. We are going to throw him down the hill. But you see, like he said, because of time, I don't want us to waste time. Bible says that, you see, when you follow, how do we overcome this persecution and affliction? But before, I want us to see something. We need to know that they will come. Say they will come. You cannot escape it too. You can't bind the devil. Because it's part and parcel of being godly. Now, you don't have to make a choice whether to stop being godly and forfeit the inheritance that we have talked about. I follow in becoming like Christ, inheriting joy, glory, and all the blessings that come with it, and then the promise of life to come. You can either decide that by forsaking and running away from it, or to face the persecutions and afflictions through self-denial. So as you overcome it, you move higher in being godly and you get all those promises. That's the choice we have to make. Praise the Lord. That is the choice that everybody has to make. But don't let us deceive ourselves. There is persecution and affliction. Praise the Lord. Let's put some scriptures behind this. I'm not sure I have enough time. What are the things that bring persecution and affliction? Quickly, say the word. Mark 4:17. So brothers, don't count it a strange thing when people begin to persecute you. Let me tell you something. It's going to come when you have nothing. And also going to come when you have everything. So you can't escape it. If it does not come, maybe you're not following after godliness. What it says? It says that when, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time, but afterward, when what? Affliction. Say affliction or persecution. Arise for what? For the word's sake. Not because you are not doing the word, but they will come because you are doing the word. Let's move on because of time. And also, persecution will arise for being godly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. They say, yeah! They must have, maybe this must have been when they just beat Paul. You know when they beat him? That scripture must have come. You now got the revelation. Say, yeah! 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 And all day that we live godly Christ, you also have suffered persecution. You know why I said it that way? So you can, it's not for you to laugh. So that when they start flogging you, yeah! Oh, thought you got it, Pastor. Oh, say, oh! All, without exception. Say yay! Yay! All, including you and I, that will live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer what? Persecution. Yay! So, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank God. That's the way of getting across you. Say yay! You see, when a thing hits you big time, you will know how to cry. That year now will not drive you to live more godly through self-denial to overcome the persecution. Praise the Lord. We need to put that in mind. So we're not just suffering persecution for suffering persecution's sake. I promise. Then the last thing again, I'll put it as the spirit without measure will bring persecution. I just mentioned this. What will Mark 10:21. Then Jesus beholding him, talking about that guy that came to him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, whatever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt after treasure in heaven. He says, come, take up your cross, and follow me. You see, is follow me to become like me. So when you decide to do that, and keep on doing it, when the hundredfold return comes, persecution will come with it. Let's move to verse 29, verse 30. In this life, there's no persecution in heaven. So you can link that somebody will persecute you in heaven. So he's talking about it. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man, say no man, that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake. But he shall what? Receive a hundredfold now." Say now. Not in heaven. No. "Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come is our life." So everybody say, yay! There's a yay in Christianity. But the way of escape, I have to stop, is that we go through self-denial, as Pastor taught us. So we don't end up dying or suffering or just crying year for year's sake. No. So how do we do that? God has, as I put it here, I said that God has given us, as Pastor taught us, the spiritual equipment to overcome them through self-denial. How, what do we mean by self-denial? Giving up of legitimate pleasures, sleep and food, to give extra time. Say extra time. Because you see, for the persecution to come, that means the power released was not enough. And that's insensible. So you need to give extra time to release more power, are you following me, in the place of prayer, in sufficient measure to overcome it. I said, if any man will follow me, deny himself. Luke 9:23, and follow me. Hebrews 5:7 says that only in days of his flesh, when the other prayers are become strong, kind, and tears. And then in the book of Mark chapter 1 verse 35, it says he will wake up a great hour before dawn. This is not the kind of prayer you wake up in the morning when you are going through affliction, and then you wake up at 6 o'clock. The year for that day will be too much for you to handle. Go and ask Paul when he was going to what is it called, Rome. The guy was going to die. He saw what God has spoken to him. Master, look, listen. The fact that God says something to you does not mean it's going to happen automatically. The master appeared to him, in the book of Acts, when he was in Corinth. He said, "Don't worry, Paul. You are going to stand before me in Rome." Why didn't he go and sleep? You know, when they were on the way, the fact that God said you'll be there, it doesn't mean I go to your head and not tail. Is this now just okay? Let us see, it's going to be head and not tail. No! He had been with kick persecution. That word I received, go and ask from Joseph when he had a dream. Go and ask from David when they anointed him. So God said, so it's automatic. Go and ask from Paul. He said, for 14 days and nights, he did not sleep. He did not eat. What if he did not pray? And then God has said, Isha, he will just die, Isha. He prayed through 14 days and 14 nights of Acts when he was going to Rome. Self-denial. Long abstinence. He said, he now came out. That is the joy when you overcome. That is the joy. But I said, let's again. Say the joy for the joy that was said before him. He endured the cross. And his so he stood. He said, the God that I serve, of whom I am today, his angel stood before me and said, there shall be no loss of any life. That man said, except he's abiding in the sheep, this shall not be saved. It doesn't come like that. The Satan will kick everything. Especially in this end time, I have to stop. Especially in this end time. Baba. Now, I need to just round up that aspect. Yes, let me finish my thought. I said, we suffer reproach. Because, you see, Paul said, 1 Thessalonians about 3, verse 3. 3:3. Paul said, we are appointed unto that. For it says that no man should be moved. Say, no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourself, know that we are appointed thereunto. That is God. It's not because God wants you to go to, but it is part and parcel of it. So, in fact, you are not going through it in that degree of Paul now because of your inside that cocoon. So, only a little measure will come upon you. Maybe you wake up in the morning, you start your car, it didn't start. They say, I'm not going to church today. Oh, gee, baby. Because you are under covering, then you now begin to say, take a kumata. I can't go to church because there is no air conditioner. Oh, see, my cotton share. It says, yourself know that we are appointed. Say, appointed unto. Next verse, what does it say? For verily, when we were with you, we told you before, like I'm telling everybody, including myself now, that we should suffer tribulation. For too much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom. Even as it came to pass, I shall know. This message you are preaching about becoming conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot enter it unless through much tribulation. But see, the issue is you don't go above the tribulation. The Bible says, be of good cheer, our book have come to war. The Bible says that watch shall separate us from the love of Christ. It mentions persecution there. Bible says in the book of Psalm 32 or so, it says, many are the afflictions of righteous, but the Lord delivered them from all, for them all. So why don't you settle your mind that this thing is going to come? So when you've settled it, you now take the blood, the word, and the spirit to make sure that when they come, you can just, like Pastor will say, I can't say that yet, but Pastor say, set down, fire your best shot. I don't have Pastor, you're my bulletproof. Fire your best shot. I just hide on the Pastor. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to help us to see how to overcome it in a funny way. It takes cover, you know. Are you following me? So it takes the mercy of God. And God, two more scriptures. Help me. So in the midst of that persecution, there's something we do. You know, Paul in Acts 14, he also gave his son, telling Timothy, said, you know the persecution, Acts 14, 22, can put on board. He said, you know the persecution that I endured, but God delivered me from them all. No matter what is going through, if you stay with God, under covering, using blood, water, and spirit, you overcome them all. If you put it in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. So don't go away being persecution-minded or ye-minded. It's time for promotion when they come. Are you following me? So we suffer these things. Why do you suffer these two things as I stop? Help me, I'm going to stop now. We suffer these things, this reproach, for the name of Christ. Say, for the name of Christ. And also, secondly, it's an indication that the Spirit of glory rests upon us. I've told us how we are going to overcome it too. Don't forget that. The blood, the word, and the spirit. You now want to pray self-denial to release more than enough power to overcome it. You must not forget that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, as I stop. You know, when you begin to live a godly life, you don't steal, you don't misbehave. The presence of God will begin to rest upon you. That's how you know. I'm not talking. The Bible says that if you are not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will give you the two riches? How will people give you? You are walking somewhere and you are stealing. You can't get it. Because the test is this. If I give him my spirit, he will what? Merchandise it. That's where many Christians fail. Many Christians fail. See, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you your own? Wonder why you read your Bible and you don't understand anything. That may not be the case of everybody. I'm not talking about, I'm just talking generally. I'm not talking to us here, but the grace of God, we're not in that category. Are you following me? For the name of Christ, what does it say? If you be reproached, for the name of Christ, that character, you are walking in godliness, you bring reproach. Say, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resting upon. So you can really see that the reason why this thing has come, because I have a measure of the spirit of God upon my life, which if you continue, you are going to fully inherit on that covering. I say, rest upon you. On their part, it is even spoken of. But on your part, it is what? Glorified. So two things that you do under persecution. Let me put it this way. You don't call fire down on them. Don't call fire down on them. Recognize that, like Pastor Ari always say, it is a stepping stone to greater heights in you. When you overcome, you move up in God. When you overcome, you move up in God. So two scriptures has been used. It says that, it says, help me, where is this scripture now? Help me. Luke, I said that, okay, indication of the Spirit of God is you. So what do you do? The first thing, apart from using the blood, water, and spirit, the second thing is you pray for them. Say, pray for them. Matthew 5:44. The pastor said, bless them that despisefully use you and what? Persecute you. So in the midst of as they are persecuting you, bless them. Just ask life for them. That's the starting point. Then God can later tell you something physical to do. Are you following me? That's then the third thing you do, self-denial, and then I say you bless them, ask life for them. And then the last thing is that when there are some times, if you don't do the self-denial through prayer and you ask life for them, you not see the way of escape. What is that way of escape? Matthew 10:23. Why is God saying all these things to us? There is going to be great persecution when God pours out his spirit. Initially, the pastor has taught us, they will love us. When we now start demanding righteousness, no, you cannot do that. No, you cannot see government money. No. And things start happening. The persecution will increase. Go and ask them before acts. But we can overcome this. So God has got to give this way of escape. Say self-denial. Pray for them. Because if you don't pray for them, you have more forgiveness. You will kill you. They will not kill us. And then if it says, Matthew 20 says, flee. Say flee. There's a wisdom to flee. The Bible says, the Lord just can't walk no longer in jewelry. when we knew that we were going to kill him. So apart from self-denial, apart from praying for those that persecute you, there's a time to also flee. What do I say? But when they what persecute you in this city, what is master talking? Say, flee ye into another, for verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man become. That means you will not die. That's what he's saying. If you obey those instructions, self-denial, pray for them that persecute you, and then you flee. Before you finish going throughout the world preaching the gospel with the spirit of that measure, he said it will have come. Talking about the rapture. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you so much. We're going to pick it up from back. I can't finish it today. Thank God for his mercy. I says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That is what God wants to get out of that tribulation. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Say, count it all joy. Let's talk to God. Anytime you think about this, then think about the glory that will be revealed. In some of Romans, Paul says, he said, our light affliction. You want to compare affliction to the spirit without measure, and people that you and I are going to search free when the spirit without measure comes, it's not comparable. We can't compare them. Romans 8, it says that our light affliction is but for a moment. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what? The glory which have been revealed. Let's sing this song as we worship God. Oh Jesus, I promised to serve you to the end.
Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the thou art by my side. No wonder from the pathway seems dull will be my God.
Let's pray. Let's put one hand on our hearts and raise it out to God. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we have life in abundant measure. Father, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and the life to come. I also understand that it will attract persecution and affliction from the enemy. I also know that by your mercy and grace, as I stay under covering, using the blood, the word, and the spirit, I welcome them all, that my profiting may appear unto all men, thereby saving myself and them that hear me, as I give myself wholly unto these things. In Jesus, let's pray in tongue. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you all the glory.